Hello, everybody. Welcome back to What's on Your Mind, Tuesday edition of the program, 15th of October. So not next Tuesday. Not the following Tuesday. But three Tuesdays away is the big day. 20 days. 20 days. And I've been keeping track while I was away for a couple of days, doing a little family time in the Big Apple, getting ready for our flight family trip there, which, by the way, is fast approaching sellout. So if you've been putting off wanting to inquire about joining us to New York City, don't put it off any longer, because those tickets are going to be sold out pretty darn quick, I can tell you that. A lot of them went over the weekend. But anyway, kind of a meltdown in Team Kamala Timmy since I left. A lot of things. I feel like they're flailing and sort of doing this last minute, like, okay, things aren't going well. Momentum's going the wrong way. The polling isn't looking good. So here's how we'll fix it. We'll do lots of interviews. And when you wait till the 11th hour to sort of get into what would be normal behavior for a campaign, you're baking in some risk. Right? Because literally, if they'd been doing this from the moment that she committed the coup d'etat against Joe Biden, she'd be a little better on her feet, as would he, on these interviews. But they're not going so well. And so they're doing really crazy things. My other favorite now is, we're losing black men. So therefore, we need to pander to black men. So let's get Barack Obama out there to, you know, wag his finger at some black dudes, and have her go on a few podcasts. It's just, I don't know, the whole thing seems like a dumpster fire, Kev.
Oh, it is. It is. The one I saw this morning was the best one. It was something to the effect of, here's a Kenyan who was raised by his white mother in Hawaii, stumping for a woman, an Indian woman, who was raised in Canada. It's like, who are these people? But yeah, they're well, they don't have any... Dude, they don't have any substance. I mean, that's, and you knew this whole thing's a house of cards, and this is just, thank goodness that we're seeing it. By the way, Bill Oxton and Pat Anderson are going to join us. There are two winners that we had at the end of the Need to Know show are going to join us at the Michelle Tafoya, Liz Collin event coming up on Thursday. So we'll see you there, Bill and Pat. But yeah, it's just, none of this is sustainable, dude, and people see through it. I don't care what the color of the skin is. I mean, look at what's happening to all color, all people of color in this country are going, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. Really? That's the best they can do?
Yeah. She got caught plagiarizing. This story hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but she wrote some book about, you know, being tough on crime. Ha ha, very funny.
Yeah.
And this journalist, Christopher Rofu, has connected with this expert that digs into plagiarism, and he's found some blatant examples of it, even made the New York Times. Although they tried to kind of poo-poo it. So that wasn't good. The Border Patrol endorsed Trump. The campaign is leaking. That's never a good sign. So her campaign is leaking about how they have this rub with the Biden campaign. And there's this big battle going on back and forth. It's bizarre. They send out Bill Clinton, and he makes the case for Donald Trump not allowing illegal immigrants in, who've, you know, basically said, look, they should vet people better at the border so they don't kill people. I mean, I love it when they say the quiet part out loud, but it's like, what is going on? So you got Obama wagging his finger. That doesn't work. And then Clinton comes out. By the way, did you see, he went into a McDonald's, and the lady there's like, Joe! Yeah. Hey, Joe! Yeah. She thought he was Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thought he was Joe Biden. That didn't work out so well. So, yeah. Texter says, Scott, please don't call it what it is. Kamala didn't conduct a coup d'etat. Kamala can't tie her shoes. Well, she might not have conducted a coup d'etat, but the Democratic machine conducted a coup d'etat on her behalf, and now she's blowing it.
I think because they had to, though. I think that's the one thing Biden did where he set that pick, man. He set that screen like, all right, you're going to kick me out? And he literally, what was it, after that letter, wasn't it the next day? I endorsed Kamala Harris. Obama and the rest of them went, oh, dude, no. That's not what they wanted, but they had to go with it because Biden did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and now Team Biden's mad at Team Harris. I don't know. It's like I said, just
right.
Kind of a big dumpster fire. There's just a lot of really crazy stuff going on. So we'll unpack some of that for you. I have a really good analysis from Rasmussen on sort of where the polling is going that I'll share for you as well. We'll break that down. But there's so many layers that explain this in a really good fashion. That there's just no explaining it away. You know, in other words, you can try to act like, you know, there's no there, but it's just impossible. And, you know, the big ones are the economy, the border, two most important issues to all Americans going to vote, and Trump wins big with both. Okay? So that's number one. Then you've got, and you know, even, you know, when CNN is saying this stuff out loud, that Donald Trump is going to perform better with the black votes than any presidential candidate on the Republican ticket since 1960. That's not good. You know, that's not.
No, that's.
It's not a narrative that they really want to jump up and down to be happy about.
Let's prepare the lifeboats.
Right? Yeah, exactly right. And there's a few examples of this where things are not going so well. Who do you trust on the issues, few of them. So we'll break down a lot of that today. I got a stack of stuff to get to here on the program today. Serious question, though. I have to imagine there are people that have, you know, weighed these two candidates and paid attention to this race and have chosen Kamala Harris as their pick for president. What I'm going to wish for today on the program is for someone that is voting for Kamala Harris, not because she's not Donald Trump, but rather voting for Kamala Harris because she's the preferred candidate for any particular reason that doesn't have to do with Donald Trump, just that she's better. I have more trust in her, and here's why, and ask you to share that with us today on the program. Because I don't see people out there articulating that anywhere. So it kind of makes me curious what it is. I get the I hate Trump thing. That's pretty obvious. And, you know, there's a large swath of the electorate that just is anybody but Trump. But I think one of the reasons that there is some serious concern among Team Kamala and Timmy is that there's no there. But if you found some there and I'm missing it, please share it with me today on the program. We'll put you right to the front of the line. And I'm not calling, I'm not asking you to call in to in any way humiliate you, in any way argue with you. Just want to understand. And maybe you've got somebody you know that's in this category. They are pro-Harris because, as long as it's not about he's not Trump, but have an actual solid explanation of what it is about her that they think would be better as commander-in-chief. Got to be somebody out there somewhere that knows this.
Nope.
Has to be.
Not with that caveat of other than they just hate Trump. That's a tough ask, brother.
Well, I hope I can find somebody. Not finding them on the national level, so I thought maybe somebody.
Yeah, maybe.
And again, I'm okay if it's somebody you know, somebody in your family, and they've given you some reason. You can help explain it to me if it's not somebody that actually is bold enough to say, no, I'm for Harris, and here's why. And it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. That's just I'm in search of. Can't do it today. We'll just ask every day until we find one. Also on the program we call What's on Your Mind Today, we're going to talk about a space egg conference. Does that sound fun or what? Space egg. What is that all about? Robert Kraus, who's the dean of the John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences, is going to talk to us about that. It's coming up next Wednesday at the University of North Dakota. So Robert Kraus is the dean of the John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences at UND. And they have this Space Operations Summit and Space Ag Conference coming up. UND students and faculty and staff all get to go free of charge. So we'll find out about that. North Dakota State Auditor Josh Gallion is going to stop by today on the program. Been a while since we caught up with him. Looking forward to that conversation. Congressman Kelly Armstrong will be here as well today on the program. I want to spend a little time with Kelly today on the program talking about property tax reform as an alternative to what's being proposed in Measure Number 4. Where could some real property tax reform come from? Because I do believe the one of the reasons that Measure 4 is popular in some circles is because some people say, well, I don't see any other plan. So I want to talk about that today, too, on the program. Okay? We'll do that with Kelly Armstrong. And, of course, you can ask him anything else you like. On What's On Your Mind. 16 before the top of the hour. All that and more coming up. Don't go away. Top of the hour, brought to you today by our friends at Thor Buildings. If you're a business owner looking to build, contact the team at Thor Buildings. They know that business owners are particular about what they need regarding commercial real estate. And at Thor Buildings, they offer you the options to customize your commercial building to suit your precise needs. They understand that your business deserves a space tailored just for you. They won't keep you guessing about the price either. They provide you with a contract up front, guarantee that price start to finish. Contact Thor Buildings today, thorbuildings.com today for more information. Also brought to you by Chose Development, our friends at Chose Investments. If you're looking to develop land, commercial property, if you're looking to move into commercial property, warehouse property, maybe it's office space, they've got it. Land deals, if you're looking to buy, sell, develop, they're the pros. Chose Investments, KJOSinvestments.com. Let me squeeze Ken and Barnesville in here before our guest from the University of North Dakota to talk about the Space Ag Conference coming up at UND. Ken, what's on your mind?
Hey, I happened to catch Mark Levin Sunday night. He brought up, he had Ted Cruz on interviewing him. And usually I'm not too concerned about out-of-state politics, but Ted Cruz is talking about he is very low on funds and they're in a dead heat for his Senate race. And sounded like Soros was putting a lot of money into the Democrat side, and of course they're flip-flopping on the border and all that. But what I guess concerned me is that Ted Cruz brought up the fact that Mitch McConnell has control of, say, like $60 million that can go towards helping senators win their races, and because of some kind of conflict, he won't let Ted Cruz have any of that money. So I was just wondering if maybe somebody like Mr. Kramer could explain that to me. How, it's something new to me. I didn't realize that they had that kind of money stashed away for Senate races. Somebody like Mitch McConnell could control that. Do you know anything about that? Or
well, first of all, I'd say this. Ted Cruz has been in a couple of battles down there, and Republicans generally get outspent, so that's not anything new. I think there is, you know, people hate, on the left, hate Ted Cruz. So they're, they'd love nothing more than to steal a seat there, which is supposed to be a safe seat. So he's in a battle. I don't think he's really in the battle that he claims. He's being outspent. So you do what you do when you're being outspent. You're saying, hey, I'm being outspent. As far as the Mitch McConnell thing, yeah, that's also something you hear every time. I mean, you know, in other words, would you rather the money go in to pick up Montana, which is a plus Republican seat, or go to Texas, which is a traditional Republican seat that even being outspent probably will win? You got to play that chess game every time. But you raise a good point, Ken. We haven't talked to Senator Kramer or Senator Hoeven much about kind of the inside baseball of the Senate map and how things are looking for a while. So I'll add that to the list for sure to find out from them. But and it isn't just Mitch McConnell that controls it. Steve Daines is the Republican that has been in control of the Republican Senatorial Committee. So he's the guy kind of picking, okay, where are we up, where are we down? And last I've seen, the Republican map looks pretty good for a Senate takeover. And one of the reasons is because they're defending seats in Ohio and Montana. Where else? Nevada is pretty tight. But we'll get an update next time they come on. I appreciate the call, Kim. Thanks a bunch. Others welcome as we get rolling throughout the program today. So UND is hosting a week from tomorrow a Space Operations Summit and a Space Ag Conference. Robert Krause is the dean of the John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences at the University of North Dakota here to tell us a little bit about it. Dean Krause, welcome back. How are you?
Morning, Scott. Good to talk to you again. Sorry I couldn't be there in person this time.
No problem. Tell us what you got planned next week.
So it's a big event. It's a two-day thing. So the first day is the Space Operations Summit hosted by UND. The morning is going to be focused on satellites and national security topics. The afternoon is looking at human space flight. And then Thursday, the event is put on by Grand Farm, but it's still up here at UND. The morning is an event called Space Connect. So it's workshops for 9th to 12th graders, high school students. And then the afternoon is the Space Ag Conference, looking at both growing things in space as well as using space technology to improve agriculture here on Earth.
So this is both Wednesday and Thursday next week. Who should be there?
Whoever wants to come. So it's professionals working in the industry. It's people who are interested in any of these topics. And then, of course, we're always want to reach out to students that are interested in these topics.
UND students, faculty, and staff are admitted free of charge. Give us an update on where we're at. I mean, and just where this technology is at right now, and what kind of real-world applications might it have once this research bears some fruit?
Sure. So over the last 5 years, due to the generous support from the state legislature in Bismarck, we've been able to install a number of new labs and facilities here at UND. We had the ribbon cutting last week for a national security corridor, which is a satellite design lab, a construction lab for satellites, and then also testing. There's a digital design center and an area set up for cybersecurity testing. We've installed a nano foundry, so now it's kind of like a 3D printer, but doing it at the nanos, like almost like subatomic level, that we're making materials at that small scale. And then in the John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences, we've installed a space operations classroom. So while the College of Engineering and Mines is going to be working on building the satellites and testing them, once they're launched, my college takes over and is the operations side of things. And so at the end of this month, we have an experiment going up to the International Space Station. And then in March, we have our own satellite system going up on a Falcon, a SpaceX Falcon rocket. It's going to be two mini satellites that separate once they come off, and then they will autonomously dock, rejoin and dock back together, simulating or proving that we can actually service satellites once they're in orbit.
Who needs Elon Musk? We've got UND. This is incredible.
Actually, we need Elon Musk because I think everything we're doing is going up on his rockets.
Is that right? Huh? So he's the delivery man.
He is.
So when you do that, are you doing that for a particular customer? Are you doing it for research? How does it ultimately come to be?
So the ISS is a sponsored project. That's the Space Flight Student Space Flight Experiment Program. That was a contest that our students entered and then won, and that one's going up. And so that did receive some funding. The satellite that we're sending up, we actually bought and paid for on our own, but the intent is as we move in and open up this satellite construction facility in the College of Engineering, that we will be doing regular satellite construction, and it will be hopefully sponsored by users that are out there. And so this is why we're kind of hosting this Space Operations Summit. So the morning topics, we've got Randy Richards from Senator Kramer's office kind of opening things up. But then we're going to have a number of speakers. So we have the Deputy Associate Administrator for Commercial Space Transportation from the FAA. So that's the group that gives the licenses to launch. And then we have representatives from the Space Development Agency, which is going to be monitoring and managing their fleet of satellites from here in Grand Forks. So that's an exciting connection. And then several companies. We've got Iridium, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman. And then we also have Cavalier Space Force Station, you know, who's helping defend the northern border against other things. But they're also very involved in space domain awareness. So it's keeping track of satellites that are on orbit and just everything that's going on up there.
And the keynote speaker is Paul Lockhart, who is the retired U.S. Air Force colonel, NASA astronaut, veteran of two space shuttle missions, and the recipient of NASA Space Flight Medals, NASA's Exceptional Service Medal. What a lineup. Next Wednesday and Thursday at UND. Dr. Robert Krause, thanks for the update. 7 past the hour. Welcome to What's on Your Mind. I don't have a lot of confidence that there's a large number of people in our audience that are planning on supporting Kamala Harris for president for a reason other than he isn't Trump, which I think the majority of the Kamala Harris voting pool is. You know, it's sort of like anybody but Trump. They have Trump derangement syndrome, whatever. But I have a simple request today. If you or someone you know, someone in your family or circle, whatever, is actually voting, planning to vote for Kamala Harris for any reason other than their disdain for Donald Trump, would you please call? We'll put you to the front of the line today at 701-271-1100. Just let Kev know when you call. Hey, I'm for Harris, or I know somebody who's for Harris, and here's their reason why. Just trying to understand. Because I've not heard one. I've not heard anybody anywhere say anything of the sort. It's unbelievable, which is one of the reasons I think the Harris-Walls campaign is in a bit of a dumpster fire-like free fall here. Things are not going good. I have some polling to share with you today on the program that breaks all that down. Anyway, I want to talk about that. J.D. Vance was in Minnesota yesterday. Brilliant move. Goes in front of the third precinct that's now got fencing in front of it. Because it burned down, because Tim Walz didn't care. More interested in coddling thugs and looters and all kinds of people. That's Tim Walz for you, folks. So, J.D. Vance, good on you in Minnesota for that yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about that as well today on the program. Anyway, I got a stack of stuff here for you, but welcome your calls, questions, and comments. Whatever's on your mind, call us 701-271-1100, and I'm sincere. I don't want to argue. I don't want to try and dissuade you from it. I just want to understand a Harris voter who is a Harris voter because of her policies, because of something that they're actually in favor of her doing and think she would be better at, not because they don't like Donald Trump or his tweets or his mannerisms or whatever, that suffering from Trump derangement syndrome, but somebody that's actually getting up every day saying, yes, I'm for Kamala Harris. Here's how she'll be better. Just want you to share that story. No argument, no ridicule. Just want to understand. So if you know somebody in that camp and or you are in that camp, call us at 701-271-1100. Arlene is first to go here this morning. Mark at Fargo wants to weigh in. Dean Wysocki is here, so we better get to him first because he's our chief meteorologist from the Flag Weather Center.
What a morning.
It's to tell us about the weather today.
Cold start to the morning.
Right?
Especially in the east where temperatures bottom out in the teens and 20s. And that's an end of the growing season, kids. We're looking at a pretty decent day on tap for today. A lot of sunshine, a few high clouds in the central part of the state, and breezy out to the west. Highs today generally in the low 60s out west and low to mid 50s in the east and central part of the state. For Wednesday, winds ramp up in the central and east, a lot of sunshine. But those wind gusts, especially in the eastern third of the state, will be over 30 miles an hour. Not as windy out west, with highs in the mid to upper 70s out west, mid to upper 60s in the central and east. And Thursday, a cool front will be swinging into the west, providing cooler temperatures with highs only around 60, but not a lot of precip or actually no precip expected with it outside of a few sprinkles out west. And temperatures in the central and east much warmer, mid and upper 70s, but it will be windy in the central and eastern part of the state as well. We're watching a couple of storm systems over the next week to 10 days, one coming at the end of the week, and then one coming in early next week that could bring some much-needed precip to part of the state. Doesn't look like any big storms right now, but that's something at least that's on the radar that we can keep an eye on, again, as the whole state really needs precip. I know it's harvest time and really not good timing if we did get it, but we need the rain. We do.
Right on. So last night, how cold?
unofficially 21 in Fargo, while it was in the low 40s out in the western part of the state. So high pressure was centered over the eastern third of the state, and temperatures dipped many areas into the upper teens, 17 to 19 degrees. But unofficially in Fargo, we bottomed out at 21. We'll see when the official readings come in if that briefly dipped to into the upper teens. But a definite hard freeze, and, yeah, that puts an end to it. For allergy sufferers, it's great news.
Yeah, I'm for that. Yeah, I'm for that, for sure.
Doubt.
Yeah, thanks, Dino.
You bet.
Dino Wysocki, our chief meteorologist. Let's see here. Arlene and then Marcia on the board at 701-271-1100. What's on your mind? Let us know. Hi, Arlene. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I would like to know where we can get Trump yard signs. All my neighbors have Waltz, and I'd like to get Trump signs.
Good for you. You want to school up the neighbors a little bit, huh, Arlene?
There you go. I
yes,
like it.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Last I heard, the Republican Party headquarters in Fargo, which is across from the M&H on Main Avenue, has
okay.
them. Has them.
And
okay.
in Lake Park, there's a Trump
so
store in Lake Park.
Hang on a sec, Kev. Hang on a sec. Sorry, Arlene, what'd you say?
If you tell everybody where you can get them, maybe everybody will go get them.
Yeah. They're free there. Now, I think you have to buy them. Kevin just mentioned the Trump store in Lake Park. Trump store out in Nevis has them as well. I think they're for sale there.
Okay, but we can get them for free over here.
At the Republican Party headquarters. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
And if anybody's aware where there's other locations like Western North Dakota, let us know. I bought one at a... at a big Trump rally in Nevis, Minnesota. They had that big Trump rally a couple of months ago. I bought one.
Yep.
I was like, oh, I'll make a contribution. I don't care. So happy to do it. And you can also buy them online, I think, too. Thanks, Arlene. Appreciate that very much. All right. I don't see Marcia anymore. Mark in Fargo. Let's go to you next. Mark, you're up at 701-271-1100. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. How you doing? I got some answers for you. You want to hear them?
I'd love to. Yes, thank you.
Okay. You don't have to build a wall. All you have to do is stop all the Mexican cars and trucks that are coming in the United States. Stop them at the border. Say no more cars and trucks coming in. Come get the illegals that pass through Mexico and stop them on your side of the border. Simple. That stops the illegals.
Sure.
Okay? Then you stop paying the illegals. Don't send them any more money. No more free stuff. But they get a free plane ticket back where they want to. Where they came from, and that's the end of that. They go back home, okay? Now, the other answer is this. If you want to have control over Harris, if she cheats and gets in there somehow, if they finagle her way in, then all you have to do is stop buying stuff. Don't buy anything else. Mute all the commercials. Don't buy nothing. What are they going to do then?
All right, Mark.
Makes sense?
Yeah, yeah. You're bringing it today. Fine wisdom. Appreciate that very much. Thank you. 701-271-1100. Is Denny a Harris voter? Is that what I'm hearing? Denny, you're going to vote for Harris? Tell us why.
Oh, yes, Scott. You baited me. You got me right where you want me, Scott. Can you and I come to an agreement on something, Scott?
Are you voting for Kamala Harris?
I already answered yes.
Okay, so tell me why. That was my question. I wanted to hear from somebody who was not voting for her because she's not Trump, but voting for her because of some actual policy.
Can you give me a moment to make can we come to an agreement?
I don't need any kind of contractual agreement. I just need an answer to your question that I asked, which is why. I don't want to argue. I don't want to have any agreements. I just want to understand why. Why are you voting for Harris? Just tell us that, Denny.
Okay, economically, Wall Street Journal just came out with an endorsement of her economic plan over Trump's. Her propositions will add $1.5 trillion to the national debt over a decade. Trump's will add $5 trillion to the national debt. Neither one of them, we have to get serious about that. Nobody ever wants to face reality on that. Economically, yes. We got inflation down to 2.4. All of the inflation that was caused was basically the cause of COVID. Housing, everything. I know you relate it all to gas.
No, I don't relate it all to gas. I relate it to too much spending. She brags about being the deal breaker on the vote. But anyway, I don't want to argue. I just want to know. So you think her economic policies are better. And by the way, Wall Street Journal editorial page doesn't endorse. I mean, I'm sorry, the editorial page endorses. They didn't endorse Trump. I'm sorry, they didn't endorse Harris. You're talking about a news story. That's not endorsing someone. That's an analysis, which happens to be wrong. But Texter says, so Denny thinks Harris's economic plan will be better. Has he paid attention the last 4 years? As he compared the economy under Trump versus under Biden and Harris? Questions only he can answer. I don't know, but I would tend to agree. Nonetheless, I appreciate the fact that he's stepped up to the plate and told us why he's voting for Harris, because I'm telling you, of all the coverage out there, of everything you see related to this presidential race that literally three Tuesdays from now is going to decide the future of the United States of America as we know it, you hear very little explanation from Harris voters of why they're voting for Harris other than how much they hate Trump. So I'm genuinely interested in somebody that isn't about hating Trump, but rather believes that her policies would be better based on what they've either seen come out of her mouth in the last 70 days in the way of a proposal or anything that she and Biden have done. And again, she's made it quite clear there's no room between her and Biden's policies. She's been given many opportunities to say, here's where I'm different, here's where I'm going a different direction. I mean, even...
Well, and what is her economic policy? I mean, I know that we want to go corporate tax rates by 7% up to 28%. She talks constantly about the rich paying their fair share, and there's not enough money in all of the rich people's entire asset holdings that would pay for the kind of money they spend. But, I mean, and then listen to this, a Democratic friend of mine, the last 50 years of trickle-down economics have been nothing more than a massive upward transfer of wealth. And I want to know, why is that? What's wrong with that? Because along the way, well, when all that wealth went upstream, benefits were paid, opportunities were given, wages were paid, retirement accounts were built, companies were created by all those pesky rich people. I mean, why is that a bad thing? And why do they have to get punished even more?
I think that person is suggesting all the benefit went only to the rich, which is not true.
That's not true.
Wages for everybody went up. Again, you could afford a house. You know what I just saw today?
What?
True Value Hardware is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Oh, man.
True Value Hardware, okay? This iconic 75-year-old company, and they're going to sell to like another hardware company. They're citing weak housing market for plunging sales. The economy under Harris and Biden took down True Value. This is what you got. Unbelievable. Anyway, back to the phones here. Simple question. If you're a Harris voter, again, no argument, just trying to understand it. Not going to try to persuade you. Can anybody be persuaded, by the way, right now? I don't think there's anybody left in America.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There is.
You think so?
Yep. Charlie Kirk's doing it every day. I believe it. Yep. People are waking up, man.
Yeah, I don't know about this audience, but maybe on college campuses, and I guess you can see that there is a thin layer of folks that still call themselves undecided in polling anyway, which, by the way, is looking very, very, very positive for Trump. Going to get to that story coming up. This hour of the program brought to you by Schmitz Gems and Fine Jewelry, the hardware store for women. Locally owned with in-house custom goldsmiths. Schmitz Gems and Fine Jewelry, 42nd Street, 32nd Avenue, South Fargo. Lois, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Hello, Lois.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good today.
Well, wonderful.
I'm voting for Harris. The reasons aren't going to be very popular with your audience, I don't think.
That's okay. I just want to know. I want to understand. I'm not trying to be have people agree with me here. I'm just trying to understand it because I don't hear it a lot. I hear a lot about how much people don't like Trump, which doesn't seem to be a reason to vote for somebody else, but I don't hear anybody saying she is going to be so good at blank. What is it that motivates you to vote for her?
Okay. She's for gun control. She wants to ban assault weapons. She's for universal health care, like Medicare for all. And she supports taking action against climate change. And those are the issues that are important to me.
All right, now she says she's not going to take away any guns. So is she not telling us? Because at one point, you're right, she was for gun control. She even talked about a mandatory gun buyback. right? Which, by the way, if it's...
No, I didn't know that.
She did.
Okay.
Yeah, she was touting a mandatory gun buyback, which, by the way, I don't know about you, but I interpret the word mandatory to mean I have no choice. Give me your gun, and I'll give you some money. Right. But now she says that's not true. So you're confident that she's saying something different, maybe because... That worries some people. I don't know which Kamala Harris to believe here.
Oh, I wasn't aware of what you're telling me. I thought she was just in favor of banning assault weapons.
She claims so, not now. She's a gun owner.
Oh, okay.
She's pretty proud of the fact she's a gun owner.
Oh, yeah, I knew she was a gun owner. Yeah.
Do you believe that, Lois?
That she owns a gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know whether or not to believe it.
I mean, it
seemed rather convenient.
Know, I'm related a whole bunch of hunters, and as far as I know, none of them have an assault weapon. They don't need that for hunting. And
well, you know, Les, I'm just going to ask you. Can I ask you a question? What is the difference between now by assault weapon? I'm thinking you're referring to the black tactical rifles, like an AR or other those military looking style weapons. Is that what you're saying is an assault weapon?
Yes, I'm very unknowledgeable about guns, but yeah.
Well, you should become more knowledgeable. You and I should go. We can go have lunch. I can explain to you a few things. just because that weapon, that black ominous looking weapon that soldiers carry looks differently. It isn't any different than my Ruger or my semi-automatic 30-06 deer rifle. It's exactly the same gun. They just look different. So there, and I'm, you know, I would tell you, Lois, hon, there's really no such thing as an assault weapon. A knife can be an assault weapon in an assault. A bat could be a weapon used in an assault. So could a firearm. So
I consider it like, you know, a political term almost.
It is. It is actually an assault is actually a verb, hon. That's something you do, not something that is. That would, you know, and a weapon is a weapon is a weapon. If I assault you with a bat, that doesn't become an assault bat.
I just don't know what,
you know what I mean?
What gun policy she has, because she's been on both sides of this one. So it seems
there's just so
political.
Much of it that's kind of rhetoric that's just not accurate. And that's what I'm always trying to help people understand.
On the universal health care front, I have a question for you, Lois. Do you think we should not have private options for health care?
Yeah.
So just one government-run health care, and that would be our only option?
No, I suppose there's room for some private, you know. But we need to, for the people who can't afford insurance, I mean, it's very expensive.
Right, and we have that now. We have that option. She has said previously wanted to get rid of private health care. To have you know, she doesn't call it universal health care, but something similar. So I could
she called it like Medicare for all,
right? With no private options, and that's why I was just curious.
Yeah.
You held her same position there, and then you say she's more for climate action than he is.
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know what that means. I hear that term a lot too, and that's another one we could probably spend a week or so on. But I would say if there is one candidate that wants to lean in to making sure the United States pay the price on quote-unquote climate action while we offshore these things to other countries that pollute the same air, I would agree with you on that front. Appreciate you sharing your views with us, Lois. Thank you for that. And hopefully I kept my pledge as well of not arguing with you, not trying
you
to...
You did.
Yeah, didn't want to persuade you another way. Just wanted to understand. Thank you, Lois. Yes, appreciate that. More coming up on What's On Your Mind. Brought to you today by PetroServe USA. Home cooking is on. Nice grab-and-go convenience waiting for you at PetroServe USA. Chicken pot pie today in Valley City. Country fried steak at the Harwood location, as well as Ada today. Lots of meatloaf. West Main Avenue, West Fargo, as meatloaf along with Wappington today. There's also cheeseburger hot dish, West Main Avenue, West Fargo. And at the 12th Avenue and I-29 location. Swedish Meatballs, MP Avenue, downtown Fargo. Taco Mac in Yulin. Tater Tot Hot Dish on 45th Street, Fargo today. Chicken Fettuccine in Castleton. PetroServe USA, home cook and grab-and-go convenience. You'll love it. Absolutely love it. Tim Walz is in this habit of saying things that end up in commercials for Donald Trump. He did it again yesterday in Wisconsin. Did you hear this, Kev?
Look, you all know it. We can't have four more years of this.
Of what?
Harrison Walls.
Oh, what you mean about what we had Biden. 4 years ago?
Yeah. We can't take four more years of this. Listen to this guy.
Look, you all know it. We can't have four more years of this.
Yeah, this guy is Chris Farley. It just is. It's
well, and then Clinton is out going, well, these people wouldn't have killed anybody if they'd have been vetted properly.
Right.
Well, that's if they'd have, you know, gone through the process legally, we might have been able to do that, Bill. But, yeah.
He ended up in a commercial for her, too.
They want you to just ignore the last 4 years. Just 4 years ago stuff. Yeah, then.
Can't make it up. It's unbelievable. Unreal. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance in Minnesota yesterday, and he actually was at the site of the third precinct in Minnesota, which famously burned. Nice move. Way to make a play for Minnesota. Here's J.D.
First, I just want to say a little bit about what this building behind us represents. You can see it's all boarded up. This is, of course, the headquarters of the 3rd Precinct, which was burned down. Thanks to Tim Walz's completely failed leadership. And, you know, talking to these folks behind me, I mean, these are law enforcement officers. A lot of them were here, some of them for many days when this was allowed to happen. And remember, during those riots, these guys were given up for dead. Their police chief told them to stand down, hoping that it would save their lives. A couple of them just told me just now their fear that they would be killed by the violent mob that was attacking this precinct. And the important question is, what were their leaders? In particular, what was Governor Tim Walz doing to keep these officers safe and to bring order to the city of Minneapolis? The answer was absolutely nothing. They described being left for dead by the person who wants to be the Vice President of the United States. And to all the folks who are watching this, I think the message is very simple. That do we want a kind of leader who stands with the law enforcement, who fights for them, who protects their lives as they go about keeping us safe? Or do we want someone who encourages rioters and looters to burn down this precinct, who leaves the officers for dead, and then a president who then bails out some of those same rioters and looters out of prison? I think we want the law and order president. We want somebody who stands with our law enforcement, and most importantly, who stands with the communities that depend on law enforcement, and that means we want Donald J. Trump as president.
Remember, I was literally begging Kamala Harris to pick Tim Walz, and I still can't believe she did, and this is a good example why. This is just priceless, perfect, fantastic.
First,
thank you very much, J.D. Vance, for being there.
Yeah.
Really. I love
Amen.
It.
Amen.
It is. It's great. He got another little dig in, too, yesterday on Harris. I don't know if you've seen the story about her her book being plagiarized, but
her book?
Yeah. So she wrote a book that Christopher Rofu, a journalist, has used an expert on plagiarism to go through a whole host of examples of where, word for word, she ripped stuff off that's in her book.
Oh.
Plagiarized it.
Really?
And it even made the New York Times. New York Times, of course, like, well, just a few minor things and really not a big deal. See, when, you know, it's a Democrat that's been caught red-handed plagiarizing, the New York Times makes excuses for them. But they had to acknowledge that, yeah, that this, you know, it was not good. But here's what he said.
I saw today, actually, a story that Kamala Harris apparently copied some significant chunks of her book from Wikipedia. So if you want a president with their own ideas, vote for Donald Trump. If you want a president who copies her own ideas from Wikipedia, vote for Kamala Harris.
Do you think you have a shot?
I love it. 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 All right. Let's get back to the phones here. Is this caller from New Jersey. Not sure why a caller in New Jersey is calling a talk show host in the upper Midwest, but that's okay. Maybe they're listening online and maybe they're voting for Harris for a reason other than Donald Trump bad, which is what we believe the majority of folks are doing. We've been asking for that. Andy, are you a Harris voter?
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Republican, and I will definitely be voting for Harris because Trump bad, orange man bad.
All right, so you violated the rule already. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for somebody that is voting for Harris not because, quote, Trump bad. So, sorry, Andy. How about Tim? You're next on What's On Your Mind. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I got a comment about what President Clinton said.
and there's very little talk about it. He added in that comment that if we had more babies in this country, we would need less migrants or something to that effect. Well, why are we having abortion then?
It's a great point. It's a great point.
You know, we're killing all, what is it, an estimated 60 million babies have been killed since Roe versus Wade took effect. I mean, look how many people we'd have in this country, and we'd have these jobs. People would be filling these jobs, but we kill babies.
That's a very, very good point. Would love for somebody there to bring that up to Bill Clinton. First of all, Bill Clinton wasn't exactly doing Kamala Harris any favors by bringing up the fact that they're not vetting illegal immigrants, and then they're murdering people. So that ends up as an ad basically for the Trump campaign, literally within minutes yesterday of him saying that, which I think is hilarious. But you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Bill Clinton and everyone else ought to answer that. I mean, rather than throw the welcome wagon out for illegal immigrants, how about we take a serious look at the, you know, the most dangerous place for a youthful black youngster to be, a young black person? In the womb. I mean, the amount of black children that are aborted, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, there's your future workforce. You're exactly right. Exactly right, Tim. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that very much. Grant, you're next at 701-271-1100. And what's on your mind? Go ahead.
Hey, Scott. It just sounds like everybody wants more government, and that's all it is. Look at where it's taken us. The more government we get, the worse off people are. You have sounds like an elderly woman dying, basically, because of government. And it's just going to get worse. They're going to take those people, throw them into the gulag, get rid of them, euthanasia, whatever you want to call it. And they're willing to sink the ship because of their own selfish position. And I get it. We all are out for ourselves. But at the same time, why are we going to sink the boat that has brought so many around the world up? The United States of America has given so much to this world, though there are flaws in everything, of course.
The only thing that's going to happen and make everything
right is when Jesus comes back the second time. And that's what we're always looking for in our candidates. But they're imperfect humans, and we're looking for the best that we can. However, the one that keeps bringing illegals in here that will kill you, I mean, how many murders, they said, 13,000? It's probably triple that. Everything they say, it's probably triple. And everything they're accusing the other side of is exactly what they're doing. So please remember that when you're going to the voting booth. Donald Trump isn't going to be your husband. He's going to be your leader. And he's looking out for you. Whether it sounds like it's the best thing, like it might be a little brash, but he's working for you. You got to remember that.
Thank you, Grant. Appreciate that wisdom. 701-271-1100. Here's Bill Clinton yesterday doing a Trump campaign ad.
Well, the bill. The bill was being written by senior Republicans.
Trump killed
in the Senate.
Trump killed it.
And he killed the bill.
Trump did.
Why?
Why?
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened. But if they all properly vetted, and that doesn't happen, and America is not having enough babies to keep our populations up.
What?
So we need immigrants that have been vetted to do work.
Or
there wouldn't be a problem.
Or we could just not abort babies.
And he couldn't keep people all torn up and upset.
Yeah.
That's like a bunch of random thoughts.
That's what legal immigration is, Bill. Legal immigration is properly vetting them, having folks, kids here like they have for decades. But yeah, he said the obvious thing that is what makes sense.
They're very good at repeating the same old stupid stories too. The idea about the bill that Trump killed. Wait a minute. Number one, what was in the bill? You need to ask yourself that. Funding of sanctuary cities. Do we want more of that? So the bill was junk. Okay. Started out as a decent idea of taking advantage of the fact that politically it was becoming unattainable for the Democrats to continue to support these record levels of border crossings, okay? And then they put poison pills in there. But if it was such a beautiful bill, ask anyone why they didn't pass it when they rammed everything else through without Republican votes. That was political theater, is all that was. Texter says, your bumper music introducing the program is fitting for the coming date for the election. Waiting for the world to change. Hopefully it'll be Trump. Yeah, you bet. I stand for the flag. You caught that, did you? Waiting for the world to change. It's been our theme song for a long time for that very reason. Very reason. I agree with Kevin, says another listener. Biden is sabotaging the party that killed his candidacy by endorsing Kamala, knowing the party couldn't kick the DEIE higher to the curb without a huge blowback. Another listener, Brett Baer, 5 p.m. tomorrow, interviews Harris. Another sign that things aren't going so well for the Harris campaign. We better do a Fox News interview. That'll be a good interview. I think Brett Baer will do fine. He'll ask questions that haven't been asked of her, and we'll hear more of the word salad. So look forward to it. He's actually doing the interview today, I guess, in Pennsylvania. We get to see it tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Texter says, I saw a bunch of posts about Karl Rove supposedly supporting Harris. Any truth to this? Wouldn't surprise me. He'd always been a good old boy club member. I don't think Rove is saying he's supporting Harris. I think Rove went on some rant about January 6th and was giving advice to Trump regarding that. But yeah, I don't think that wouldn't be good for business for Karl to go that route. So I think that probably a bad idea. I've been promising to play you with the Rasmussen head pollster on the polling collapse of Kamala Harris. We'll do that coming up. Don't go away. North Coast State Auditor Josh Gallion will join us here coming up in just a little bit. Kelly Armstrong as well today on the program. I'm going to talk about if Measure 4 doesn't pass, what are some better alternatives for the property tax reform with Kelly Armstrong, candidate for governor, coming up on the program today. So stay tuned for that. Brought to you by H.A. Thompson & Sons today. The folks that can give you a little static peace of mind on the bottom line, because they manage buildings for thousands of buildings around the upper Midwest here. And if mechanical systems break down, they replace them. If they need replacement, they replace them, and you pay one price. It's called Link Service from H.A. Thompson & Sons. Find out more about it at hatandsons.com. Eileen, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Eileen.
Hello. I have a response to Miss Lois, and I hope she is still listening, on the one issue of health care for all.
Yeah.
And I want to tell her that I lived in Canada under this socialist medical system for 40 years. And I'll tell you what, it's only good if you're healthy. And I have a little story about my dad, who was 83, and he had cancer, very ill. And we took him to the hospital after, you know, many, many times there back and forth. That particular day, there were no rooms available, so he was put on a gurney in the hallway in the hospital and left there.
Oh my.
And, of course, he was in a medicated state. He wasn't secured. He got up, or tried to get up, fell on the floor head first, and died.
Oh.
And, of course, in a socialized system, the hospital can't be sued. So my story is no to Medicare for all. It's only good if you stay healthy and don't need it.
Yeah. Seen examples
Amen.
Of that all
Spot
across
on.
The world.
Yep.
Well said, Eileen, and I hope Lois is listening as well. Thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. So Rasmussen's head pollster, Mark Mitchell, sat down with Benny Johnson yesterday, kind of walked through the polling picture. I've been promised to play this. This is good info because all the polling momentum has shifted away from Harris. This is why they're in this panic mode of doing this, kind of bouncing back and forth between this interview and that interview and saying dumb things at rallies and whatnot. Listen to this.
So let's talk through some of these projections really quickly. Can you walk us through this weekend's polls leading up to your poll here in Pennsylvania? But there are some big corporate media polls who you came on our show, Mark, pre-hurricane, and you said the Kamala collapse, give it a week or two, is exactly what you said.
Oh,
and that was
yeah.
probably 2 weeks ago. And here we are with multiple corporate media polls coming out this weekend. I'd love for you to do a little bit of a roundup, but NBC News was the one that shocked me, showing that Trump may win the popular freaking vote. It's nuts.
after putting out Harris plus five. Again, let's not forget how absolutely in the tank NBC News was. So again, when I polled Pennsylvania in September, I had a tie. But that really was, you know, some of these major events they get a lot of press coverage on. They do get a juice for about 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's more what pollsters call a response bias than anybody actually changing their mind. It's like somebody saw Kamala Harris do well on the idiot box and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll pick up this phone call. But there hasn't really been anything like that. And when we went into the field, we got Trump plus three in Pennsylvania. Now, if you just we could do a roundup of all the states, but what you just showed was Trump winning and it all hinged on Pennsylvania. And all of these numbers here, there are if you look at Real Clear Politics, there are some blue things in the Pennsylvania aggregate. But for instance, the biggest lead besides Bloomberg Morning Consult, who just sucks and we shouldn't even consider them, is New York Times Siena. But they oversampled Biden 2020 supporters, like I said, by 8 points. So that's a Trump plus four. So you have us Trump plus three, them Trump plus four, Insider Advantage, Trump plus two, The Hill Emerson, Trump plus one, Trafalgar, Trump plus three. Rich Barris is coming out with another Trump lead. It's done. Trump's winning Pennsylvania. The only question is he going to win by more? And is he going to drag McCormick over the finish line? This has kind of looked like this for a month or two. Trump's up by 0.1 now. That's because Morning Consult and New York Times Siena are dragging that number down. But anybody could have looked at this page a month ago and said, well, look, you've looked at the numbers at the top too, like Clinton plus eight. No way. She lost. Biden plus seven. No way. He won by one. So there's going to be polling error again to the left. Trump's going to have maybe a blowout in Pennsylvania, just depending on whether or not the Postal Service shows up for him.
Interesting thought. That's right from Rasmussen's head pollster, Mark Mitchell, there, focusing a lot on Pennsylvania. But their overall number, current state of the race, Trump at 302 electoral votes to Harris's 236. I mean, there's no polling momentum for Harris whatsoever. None. It's all going the opposite direction. Thought you'd be interested. Also, speaking of NBC, which, again, I like what Benny Johnson says is corporate media polls. Why would corporate media, that is basically an arm of the Harris campaign, do anything different in their polling that they do in their reporting? So ask yourself that. Yet, they actually have this race now tied. They can't even hide it anymore. And when you talk about whether Trump policies helped or hurt you, 44-31 say Trump helped, and her and Biden, 45-25 hurt. That's from NBC. Think about that, folks. So she has this fallout, and then they say, hey, did her policies help or hurt you? Or did Trump's? Trump wins 44-31, help versus hurt. She loses, hurt versus help, 45-25 from NBC. So that's why they're flailing around and freaking out, and now there's plagiarism stories and 20 days. Who would you rather be? Trump Vance or Harrison Timmeling Ding Dong Kamalama Ding Dong? There's no debate. None. Zippo. Nada. Welcome back to another hour of What's on Your Mind. 7 past the hour. North Coast State Auditor Josh Gallion going to join us. He'll be on your November ballot seeking re-election for a third term as auditor of the state of North Dakota. We're brought to you today in part by our friends at Sirisette of Fargo, where they welcome you to embrace happiness with Sirisette. They believe that happiness is not just a destination, it is a journey. And what better way to embark on that journey than with a balanced and harmonious brain? Join Sirisette in celebrating the joy of living with a brain that's in tune and in sync. Enhance your mood, improve your sleep, boost your overall well-being. They can help. Spread happiness with the good folks at Sirisette. Find out more about what they can do for you, a wellness company, Sirisette. It's cereset.com, cereset.com, or call 701-566-5231. Squeeze Dan in here, has a question, and then we're going to get to our guest, Josh Gallion. Kelly Armstrong at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about alternatives to Measure 4. What would be a better approach for the legislature than the property tax a reform proposal in measure number 4. I'm going to talk with Kelly about that at the bottom of the hour, candidate for governor. Dan, what's on your mind?
I was just wondering, you know, if these guys love Kamala Harris so much, why don't they call her by a more enduring term, Kamala Harris? And that's what she really is.
Do you think that'd get her more votes, do you, Dan? I don't know if that would be a good branding change for her, but yeah.
Well, it seems like that's what they want anyway, is communism, so.
Right, yeah.
Call it like it is.
All right, good luck with that, getting her supporters to call her that. Keep us posted, okay?
Okay, good enough.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. Another listener, by the way, wanted us to tell you that the Trump signs that are at the Republican Party headquarters actually come with a $10 donation. That's fine. You can make a $10 donation. I think we had said they were free there. They're not free, though. It sounds like it takes a $10 donation. And we had a Detroit Lakes listener reach out that says they have Trump signs at the Republican Party headquarters there, and that is in it's the old KDLM radio. Is that Richwood, I think? South of DL there a little bit. So they have them there as well for you. A couple of examples. Welcome to the program. The auditor of the state of North Dakota, Josh Gallion, seeking a re-election to a third term. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to see you. Glad you could join us in studio today. Talk a little bit about this campaign. We have 3 weeks to go today. So lots of races to focus on, 5 measures. And, of course, a lot of the attention goes towards this presidential race, which is an important one.
Very important.
And contains someone that's endorsed you. So you're the Trump-endorsed candidate for auditor.
I am. I'm very honored to have the president's endorsement and was very grateful to receive that right before our state convention here. I plan on putting a little bit of that out on our social media, share that again. But yeah, having the president's backing, knowing what he's going through, the really the fight that he is taking on. I mean, it's life-threatening, as we've seen. I mean, they're trying to eliminate him. And so to have somebody like him, that position of strength, also backing me, it gives us all a little bit of strength, and courage is contagious.
You're in this race against a Democrat, Tim Lamb, who is kind of a perennial Democratic candidate of sorts. He's been in and out of a lot of different races for the Democratic Party, was their choice as Democratic. Talk a little bit about your two terms, 8 years as auditor, mm-hmm. and what you'd want to do with a third term. What do you see as the important things for voters to consider in this race, Josh?
So in the last 8 years, things that we've really focused on is modernizing the office. We've taken, you know, where we had shelves of just paper audit reports, digitizing them, getting them on our website. We've implemented new strategies on how we create those audit reports. We've developed communication means to get that information into the hands of the people. That, to me, is so important, where our citizens across the state of North Dakota, these transparency initiatives, that they know how their government is spending their money. But to me, looking back, we've done so much along those lines, but there's still so much more that we have the ability to do. These reports now that we are making more digitally available through our website, through social media, through all of these different avenues, they are full of data. Data that right now is just locked up in PDFs. We are trying to develop, and we've actually started these processes where we can have databases where some of this information we can pull out and start making this information searchable, sortable. You can compare. This is an idea that we've got from other states. It's taken us quite a few years to even build the building blocks to be able to get to this point. But this really goes back to in 2017, you know, I believe in giving credit where credit is due. The governor actually sent some folks up to our office and was asking questions about, well, how much debt is on the books of local governments? And they said, do you have that information? I said, well, yes, we do.
Buried in some PDF, huh?
At that time, it was in the back of our office in just a wall, shelves, rows of them. Like, well, you can go through each one of these reports and manually pull that information out. It was not very user-friendly. And so the steps that we've been taking, you know, over the last 6-7 years is really to get ourselves in a position where the auditor's office, where we do about 15% of the local government auditing out there, the other 85% is with our private partners who we work closely with. We need them to be on board with these processes that we've developed, and we've really created some great working relationships with many of them. We are just now, this next year, starting a rollout where we are going to collect there's 5 or 6 data points of information, whether it's revenue, expenditures, long-term debt. We're going to make sure that we've got all that information. Our private partners are also going to collect that information, get that submitted. We're going to be able to start populating databases where that information now will be at everyone's fingertips.
And that's for every city, county, township, that's all the local subdivisions.
Yes. We're starting with a lot of the bigger ones right now, but eventually, yes, we want to get to where we have online data available for everyone to see. And if you start looking at that and start thinking, there are ways that we can apply demographic information. We can have comparative analytics. What's working, what isn't? You know, the governor really talks about data-driven decisions. We are trying to build those tools to put into the hands of a lot of those decision makers, whether they're legislators or county commissioners or even these associations that we work with, if it's the Association of Counties or the League of Cities. What information could we start compiling that could help them, whether it's tax collections or spending? Or maybe we need to be looking at the debt levels. I know here in Fargo there was an article about some of the revenue and maybe the downgrading of some of the ratings. You know, that's all of that information. If you have data and comparative analytics, you can start looking at that a lot different perspective. You can make better decisions. Some of that stuff is not bad. It's just we need to have better information to support some of those decisions that are being made.
I like the fact that you arm citizens with the ability to have that handy. I mean, property taxes are a big pain point right now. And the property taxes come from your school board. They come from your city commissions, city councils, and counties, and you know. So knowing their finances and getting a better sense can help arm the citizens with, you know, do we really need this level of debt for you to turn around and charge me that much more, right? I mean, there's a lot of ways you can use the data you're talking about.
Our form of government really it only thrives or survives with informed and engage citizens. We have to have people paying attention, taking that time to educate themselves. But really it takes, you know, people like me in these positions to make sure that that information is available, that they know how to find it. That's some of the things that we've done over the last several years. The team in the auditor's office, I couldn't be more proud of the work that they do to push this information out to everyone, not just a few key people, not just legislators or agency heads. It's the citizens that also have to be aware.
More with Josh Gallion, candidate for re-election for a third term as the state auditor in North Dakota, joining us on the program today to talk about more things involved in this race. If you have a question or comment, it's welcome. 701-271-1100 is our telephone number. You can also text 701-237-1590. More after this. Don't go away. Back on What's On Your Mind, brought to you today by PetroServe USA. The home cooking is on. PetroServe USA has it for you today. And the great thing is you not only get home cooking, but you're in and out of there quick, and you got a great meal. And today it's your choice of country fried steak in Ada or Harwood, chicken pot pie in Valley City. There's meatloaf today, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, and Wahpeton. Bacon cheeseburger hot dish, 12th and I-29, cheeseburger hot dish, also West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Swedish meatballs, NP Avenue. Country fried steak in Ada. Tater tot hot dish on 45th. Chicken fettuccine in Castleton today as well. Josh Gallion is with the state auditor for North Dakota Market. And Fargo has a question for Josh. Go ahead, Mark. You're up on What's On Your Mind, 701-271-1100.
Yeah, you've got 18,000 piles of cash in the Treasury with $1 million in each pile. What in the world makes you think you need to charge anybody any property tax?
Well, I don't charge anybody any property tax. Help me understand what you're getting at. You're talking about the state of North Dakota collecting taxes?
North Dakota is what you call the national petroleum reserve in the United States. We've got so much oil under our feet. Mm-hmm. It could keep us in gas for the next 20 years. So why do we need, we can do a Sarah Palin kind of thing, stop charging any property tax or just keep in better control of the books.
Yeah, I just think better understood, Josh's job is to tell you what money is there.
Yes.
Not how it's spent or how it's taxed or, you know, so, but to that point, this is what you do, right? I mean, in fact, you got a huge audit coming up of all of North Dakota's finance. Talk about that.
So the caller's, he's not wrong. I mean, we do have a lot of money all over the place. One of the audits that we are currently doing is the annual comprehensive financial report audit. That is all of the state's financials that roll up. You know, that audit report, the net position on that is near $30 billion. There's a lot of money sitting in all of our different funds, a lot of revenue coming in. Our oil revenues, I think this year, are projected around $3.4 billion. The state of North Dakota does have a lot of money coming in from various sources. And we have a lot of money set aside in many of these, what some elected officials are, you know, they call them rainy day funds. The budget stabilization fund. We have the SIF fund. Yes, there are resources and things there. It is up to either the citizens on Measure 4, or if that isn't successful, it's up to the policymakers and the legislators to decide, you know, what best course of action do we approach. But yeah, I agree. In some of these cases, we don't necessarily have a revenue problem. In some of these cases, we have more of a spending problem, and we need to maybe be a little more fiscally conservative.
So when is that mega audit due by? When do you do that?
So this one here, the ACFR, is you know, every year we do this. We want to try to get this thing wrapped up by the end of the calendar year. So by December, we've got the university system side right now. They're trying to get their work wrapped up. That rolls into what Office of Management Budget is compiling for all of state government. And then that becomes one very large set of financial statements that we wind up issuing an opinion on, stating whether or not, you know, it's a fair representation of management, and I have every expectation that opinion is going to be positive. It's a lot of work. It's all hands on deck for the auditor's office, and it is a lot of money and a lot of moving parts.
You have a Fargo office.
We do.
Talk about that.
So in our Fargo office, that's where our university system team is located. They audit many of the campuses, some of our small commissions, the state mill and elevator. We also have a local government team there. And that team is, I guess, potentially going to be in the news here recently. It was a small team. We had three people. Two of those individuals have just recently been recruited away. The thing with a workforce, which anybody who is managing and leading people anywhere in North Dakota right now understands, that when you have talented people, other people want your people. And so we're constantly faced with that within the auditor's office. And we have, you know, these highly skilled professional positions filled with people with many years of experience. And recently, two of those individuals, they were recruited away, one to a private firm to do additional government auditing, which we look at as, you know, our private firms out there are partners with us to provide services to these local governments. So whether the state auditor's office is doing it or these private firms is doing it, you know, for me, I don't really have a big difference in that, as long as those services are being provided to those local governments who need it at affordable rates. Our other employee, he was recruited away to another state agency, which they do that. State agencies are always looking over there. Who can we get? And people move. It does happen. The other piece that is going to come out here, I think, soon, it was from the Williston School District area.
A lot of citizens want some real digging there, don't they?
Yes, and we've done a petition audit. Was probably the largest audit that we ever conducted. That audit, when we did that, the school did not have a business manager. And so we went back to do the combined school district. When we created those combined financial statements of the two different entities that merged, conducted that audit, they had a business manager. That audit was done with just as much complexity. And half the time, with a third of the findings. So this year, when we have been in communications with the Williston School District, it's not actually our Fargo office that does that. That'd be a long way to travel. That's a lot of windshield time. It's actually our Bismarck office that does that. And we reached out to them to let them know that that audit for us, we'd like to get that scheduled in February of 2025 to make sure that they can get a business manager. The one they had, no longer there. Not sure why that person is not with the school anymore, but having that business manager, they are so important through the auditing process. They're the chief financial officer. They know where these records are at. They know about the internal controls. Sure. It's so important. So,
we'll look forward to that because it's obviously very necessary.
Yes.
A lot of concerned citizens up there for understandable reasons. A lot of, and that's why you do what you do.
It is, and we just want to make sure that we can provide those citizens a level of assurance that when we go in and we look at those financial records, when we evaluate the schools and those internal controls in that environment, it's information that they can have confidence in, that they can rely on, especially when they're making decisions. You know, that is so vital that those records are accurate.
Anything else you want folks to know, Josh, ahead of this race?
You know, I I'm so appreciative of my endorsement from President Donald Trump. We're 3 weeks away from the election. I would encourage people out there, you know, the Republican Party has been the party here in the state of North Dakota that's really driven us forward. We've created a lot of opportunity, and I would encourage people to vote vote for our Republican statewide candidates.
Josh Kallion, candidate for a state auditor, looking for a third term. Appreciate you stopping by and chatting with the listeners today, and finish strong in these next 3 weeks there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I
appreciate it very much. Thanks, Josh. Josh Kallion joining us today on the program. Kelly Armstrong, by the way, coming up in just a couple of minutes. Want to quickly tell you that we are probably about a week, 10 days away from closing out the Flagg family trip to New York City, December 7th through the 11th. A lot of those seats are flying out the door. I mentioned earlier, I think we had six couples left. We might be down to two now. So, if you're interested in going to New York City with Maria and I, December 7th through the 11th, on our annual Flagg family trip to New York City, get me an email today, studio at flaggfamily.com. Just put New York City in the subject line. We'll get you all the details. Studio at flaggfamily.com. More after this. Back on What's on Your Mind, brought to you today by our friends at MyPillow. The deals are on. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. Mike told me the other day that another big box store canceled a huge order, so he said, let's just let your listeners win. And they can buy pillows for less than $15 a piece. Queen size for 18. King size for 19. Limit of 10. That's right. So you win when the big box stores do what they do. Cancel Mike. Go to MyPillow.com for that deal right now. Or call them at 800-506-9028. 800-506-9028, online at MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. All right? Texter says, guys, after listening to you, I believe we should get rid of the property taxes on personal properties, not on commercial properties. Yeah, we are going to be spending some time on that Measure 4 issue like we have been, focused in the next number of weeks on issues like that. The problem is, with what this listener is suggesting, you can't just say, well, let's do it that way. Because there's a decision before the North Dakota voters, and as it pertains to measure number 4, there would be no property taxes charged for not only individual homeowners, but also properties, also commercial properties. So if you would like a property tax reform proposal that doesn't include the commercial properties, my suggestion to you would be to vote no on measure number 4 and then be part of a effort to lower property taxes in North Dakota without including commercial and or income producing locations. Probably the biggest thing I hear in the way of pushback saying, why was that included? Why was that included? And I've asked Rick Becker that question. He basically said we had no choice. Other people say it just was written poorly. I don't know what to believe. But it's one of the reasons we have our next guest on, who is candidate for governor, Kelly Armstrong, who has talked about this issue a lot. And alternatives is one thing I want to talk about today. If not measure 4, what's a better way? Kelly, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Is my advice right to this listener to say, if you know, hey, I don't want property taxes on personal property, but let's not get rid of it on commercial properties. Really, the only remedy for that at this point right now is to vote no on Measure 4 and support a different way, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you don't have any options with a constitutional measure. It's an abolishment. That's what it is. There's no way to deal with it without changing the Constitution again. So I think there, I always struggle with this in general, Scott. We actually got this question at the debate. I love the initiated measure process, particularly for statutory codes. But, you know, our founders in North Dakota and our founders in the country had it right. You know, the Constitution, our state constitution and our federal constitution are really, fantastic documents. But now when you do constitutional changes, we add like 9 pages to the Constitution. We have not gotten better at brevity as we have matured as a society. So I like the initiated measure petition. I like voters being able to go to the polls. I think it should be easy to do that. I think it should be harder to change our Constitution. You can do it without doing it both ways, I think is the best way I had to explain it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm yes on Measure 2 as well. I just think it's too easy. And I tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a lot of very well-funded, out-of-state, radical pro-abortion groups that are going to go state to state to try and enshrine in constitutions in pro-life states like North Dakota all kinds of radical abortion. It should not be this easy to change the Constitution. It should not. I mean, it's
can I give you a little counter on Measure 2?
Say again?
Can I give you a counter on Measure 2?
Certainly.
I don't mind increasing the threshold. I agree with you. We are to the point where it's probably, if you are an outside group, easier. It's cheaper to change the North Dakota Constitution than it is to run a political ad in San Francisco over a weekend. I think that's a real problem. The easy answer would be saying you can't use out-of-state money to do that. The problem is that's not constitutional easier. I'm just not sure Measure 2 solves that problem. Money can beat Measure Money. I know what they're trying to do, and I think I agree with the concept. I just said that before. But I don't know if Measure 2 makes it easy. I mean, if you have $5 million, I don't know how Measure 2 stops that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard this both ways as well. I'm going to trust the legislature's wisdom on this one and say it's too easy to change the Constitution. In my mind, and this was a solution that they put forward to do that. I hear what you're saying. You could make the same argument in reverse, really, that says,
By the way, it doesn't make it harder at all to change the statutory petition, initiated measure petition.
One subject I think is a good idea, you know, being more cautious about who can distribute these petitions. And again, I'm just going to. I think the legislature's gotten this one right, but it's something to be concerned about because it's troublesome. Yeah. What's happening with the Constitution?
When you're voting to change the Constitution and you go on to that and you get your ballot from Burleigh County, Cass County, wherever, and you've got nine pages of constitutional changes, you don't get the 9 pages when you get your ballot. That's the one subject thing I think, if done properly, is really, really a good idea.
Yeah, very interesting. So let's back to Measure 4. In my mind, there's a pretty good swath of people who basically don't care about the details in this. They hear property tax reform. You've said this before. When have North Dakota citizens been able to go to the ballot and vote themselves a $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 tax break? Right? Pretty unusual.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, damn the details. I don't care. I'm getting the tax break. In my mind, that requires an alternative. That says, okay, this is not the right approach, but we hear you. Property taxes are too high. Here's a better way. What is that better way, Kelly?
Well, I think the better way is another significant relief package with the most money that you can responsibly afford, not just this session, but one that you can guarantee to the North Dakota citizens for years to come. But you can't just do another relief package, because if we do that, and I've run a lot of these numbers, the state of North Dakota is essentially going to take over 50% of the local shares of property tax with one more significant relief package, which means if the state of North Dakota is paying 50% of the local share of property taxes, we have at least a say in guiding how you can do your budget increases.
And I think that is the meaningful part. And I think, to be honest, and I think I've said this on your show before, we have been very good at the carrot. We have never even entertained the stick. And it really is. If the state of North Dakota is going to pay off 50% of the property taxes on average across the state, we have to talk about controlling and making sure that that can't just immediately get backfilled at the local level every single time we do it. Because if we don't do it that way, we're just doing the same thing we've done before. And I think that is where people are really, really frustrated.
So how do you reform? How do you best reform how locals do their budget increases?
If you, my personal opinion, and I think I'll have a way to weigh in on this in an important point, you put a reasonable cap on existing property tax budgets. So the state of North Dakota is paying off your 50% of the property taxes, and in exchange for that 50%, we are going to say you have a 3% cap on your existing property tax budget. That doesn't include new construction. It doesn't include growth. It doesn't include those things. But you can say, we are doing this, and in exchange for us buying off 50% of your property taxes, we're going to say you can't grow at more than 2% or 3% a year. And if you do that, then you don't get the 50% of your property tax budget that we're paying.
So essentially, the relief comes from the state, but it comes with strings.
Yeah, I think that's a fair conversation to have.
Yeah, because this is where the relief in the past has been basically eaten up, where the relief has come, but it's been temporary because the spending goes up.
Well, and I mean, I was there, right? I've said this on your show. When people ask, why would we believe you this time? I hope at least with me, your listeners, at least I acknowledge I was wrong. Like when we bought down the social service mills, We thought that was delivering real relief, and it did in some cases for a very short period of time, but it immediately got backfilled and taken back over. And some of this is valuation and 160,000 new people in North Dakota and all of those different issues. So some of those things are great, but if you're 65 and retired and not planning on selling your house until your estate is selling your house, you don't really care if it's increased in value by $200,000 other than it's a net negative because now you're paying more in property tax. We've been really good at the buy down. What we haven't been good at is lowering property taxes. And we should acknowledge that, and we should acknowledge, regardless what happens, if Measure 2 fails by 3 points or 20 points, I can tell you, because I've had the blessed opportunity to talk to as many North Dakotans across the state since January as just about anybody. And even people who are voting no are really, really frustrated.
So on the relief package part, who gets the relief? How would you structure that?
You know, I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. None of these ideas are new. You could buy, I mean, there's residential property, there's primary residential. I mean, you could take the 60 mills that we dedicate to schools off of either one of those. You could maximize and increase the primary resident tax credit they did last time, figure out how to get it into an opt-out instead of an opt-in so everybody just automatically gets it. The only concern I have with that is we got to deliver on the promise that it's permanent and not temporary. But there's a lot of different ways to do this. You could do overall buy down of all property classes. I like that less. I want to deliver the relief to homeowners and to the people who pay. I mean, that part of it. I mean, everybody owns a business, also owns a home. So you can either, I mean, you can get more on one or a little bit on all of it. But I think, you know, I think the real question is how are you delivering it? How much can you responsibly afford? And does the reform actually deliver relief to citizens and not just another buy down from the state?
Lister says it would be massively unfair to tax one type of property but not another, and it would lead likely to loopholes, carve outs, etc. The only fair way to implement the measure is to eliminate property tax entirely. What do you say to that?
I think we can't afford it. I mean, you can, I mean, if you want to raid principal and you want to go into those things, you want to significantly cut programs, and there's plenty of things in the government you can cut, but a $3.5 billion hole in the state budget is real problematic. I disagree with the only fair way to do it is one versus the other. We have different classes of property for a reason.
Yeah, and certainly income producing, property would be, obviously, belong in a different category. Agree with you there.
Yeah.
We have a comment from a county maintenance guy, road grader and snowplow on Measure 4. I want to share when we come back. Kelly Armstrong, candidate for governor with us, congressman, all the way till January. More to do on that front, too. As we continue, don't go away. Back with Kelly Armstrong, candidate for governor in North Dakota. And questions or comments, welcome. It's 701-271-1100. You can text us, too. 701-237-1590. So this listener says, I'm a county maintenance guy, road grader, and snowplow. I now understand that property tax measure 4 would remove the power of the purse from county and state. Remove the power of purse from county, and state would take the power. If the state holds that money bucket, the lower population counties would lose. I would love all around me paying less tax, but I would lose, and the roads would end up going to hell. Is this person correct?
Well, the way the measure is written, they would get, the state would be required for full freight on whatever the last property tax assessments were for every county. I think so. On the front end, they would be held harmless, but I think he's 100% right. And I think he's 100% right for a lot of reasons. One, because every time you go out on that road to fix it, thank you, by the way, for doing that. And thank you for getting up at midnight in a blizzard when we're all sleeping in our beds and you're making sure we can drive to work the next morning. But none of that stuff is getting cheaper. None of it. From asphalt to concrete to any time you get into an emergency vehicle with lights on the vehicle, none of that stuff is getting cheaper. And the amount of autonomy and local control and local share of increases is going to be really difficult. We have some really good rural legislators, but they represent 5, 6, 7 communities every 2 years in Bismarck. And it doesn't matter how good of a state senator you are. If you have 7 school districts in your district, that means you have 7 rural school districts in your district. That means you're going to be advocating and arguing. And their needs aren't always the same. It's really difficult for me to see after a very short period of time of how any semblance of local control goes away. The other answer is townships, forget about it. Townships struggle. We have less and less people living in our rural communities, but we have a lot of value coming from farm to market and trying to figure out and where they end up in the funding stream. I have a hard time understanding how if Measure 4 passed, townships would ever have any relevance ever again.
Bruce and Minot, question for Kelly Armstrong. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, quick, I just would like to hear your comment on this. If property tax goes away, I've heard so many different things saying, okay, sales tax will go up, your electric will go up, your water and sewer go up, maybe a higher tax on gasoline, whatever they are. Those 4 things I just said right there, we as property taxpayers, we have control over that. We could we could use less water. We could use less electricity. We could do all those things that I said. We could do less of that. But with property tax, our hands are tied. They go up, and we have no say so in it whatsoever. That is my main point. Now, those points might not, you might come back and say, you're wrong here, you're wrong there, wrong there. But also, I feel if the businesses, big businesses, don't have to pay property tax here in North Dakota, my feeling is the small businesses. Now, wouldn't that be a growth that people attract more people into this state to want to build small businesses, bring more businesses in this state just because we have no property tax?
Let's let Kelly respond here, Bruce. Go ahead.
So first, I think utility bills, I think, are on the outside of that. But I think water, sewer, and sales tax are the ways in which locals will be able to raise money anymore. If there's no property tax, there's no way to do those things. There are very limited options in which a local municipality can raise a set of funds to fund whatever if the roof falls in your county jail. My concern, you want to talk about the business side of it, I think, one, we have 15,000 to 30,000 open jobs in North Dakota right now. It's a really unique time to run for governor. I'm the only person who's now that I can remember in my lifetime not running on jobs. But if you are a retail business anywhere in the country, you are now engaged in e-commerce. And if we are going to tax on sales, and we have a ton of great citizens in North Dakota that are willing to pay a little more to support their local businesses, local, all of those different issues. But if you start putting sales tax on the back of all of those different things, it's very difficult to understand how they're going to actually compete in a 21st century marketplace in a meaningful way. And I would, and this is the one thing that frustrates me, and it frustrates me from being in the state senate, whatever. You absolutely have a say on property taxes. You vote for county commissioners and school board commissioners and city commissioners and park board commissioners and all of those different things. And we have tremendous amount of local control. But I also think, I mean, the state government gets a lot of this, and nobody cares who's to blame for this. But there is a very, very much a say in that. The problem is that hasn't worked either. And which is why I think the state has to get engaged in putting in frameworks for locals if we're going to buy down 50% of it.
Yeah, and I think voters are going to demand that. I know the polling is not looking good for Measure 4 because people are concerned about the price tag. But I, you know, what one texter here says, we've been tricked two or three times by politicians claiming there was going to be some sort of property tax relief and getting little or nothing. I mean, people are. That's why I spent most of this conversation with you today, just talking about what are the proposals, and obviously, you're running for governor, saying I agree with you, and we need to do something, do it permanently. I think we can take that to the
bank. we've done relief, we just have never done reform.
Yeah, reform and relief. Let's get it done. All right, Kelly, thanks for the time. Appreciate the chat. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, Scott.
Out of time, my friends, got to go. See you tomorrow on What's On Your Mind. God bless you, one and all. Charlie Kirk coming up next. Don't go away.